to Jesus, she was not dead yet. And so, yes, as they're going, he finds out that she is dead. And so now he has the next obstacle, which is the interruption of this lady. Come on, lady, you come and mess it up. I'm over here for my miracle, and all of a sudden you're over there crawling and touching the hem of his garment, and now that everyone stops, and I'm over here like, hello, my daughter, she's about to die, and we don't have time for you, lady. Why did you touch him? Why did you come and interrupt this? But you know what? When we are following the Lord, we have to learn to be patient. We have to learn to wait on his time. We cannot push Jesus to do the miracle. We can't go and, come on, let's go, hurry up. No, he's going to do it at his time, and he's going to do it his way. I don't care if you heard sermons where they gave you the formula. Oh, 4 steps to get your miracle. I'm like, I don't care if they told you that. They probably lied to you, because only God knows how many steps it's going to take. Because he deals with us individually. And he's got a lot more going on with you than what we even know. With me than what I even know. Sometimes I think I know how God is going to work in my life. And I think God is going to do it this way. I just think. But I am not sure. And here, the Jairus. I mean, okay, here's a multitude. And like, okay, how do I do this? Fire! I don't know what he did, but I have leprosy, or I don't know how he made the crowd to move, but he made it to the front, and he was able to ask for the miracle, and Jesus was on his way, and now this lady comes and messes it up. I mean, and now I'm looking from Jairus' point of view. He's like, yeah, lady, okay, you got your miracle, get away. But you know, we have to wait on God, and so now in verse 23, we know that before this, it says, when Jesus came into the ruler's house. Now we know that before he got to the ruler's house, he got bad news. So now it's not only the multitude, the interruption, but now the bad news that came to him. And the servants came and said, hey, you know what? Stop this. You don't even need... The teacher doesn't need to go all the way to the house. Your daughter is dead. We've already hired the musicians. We already have the people over there mourning and wailing and crying for your daughter. That's it. Stop it. I mean, imagine that you're asking for a miracle and all of a sudden you get the news like this. You would probably say, okay, just put your head down and... Because they're not saying, oh no, she's doing really bad. No. They said she's dead. That's it. We're already singing the songs of lamentation. We're already wailing for her. We're already crying. We're mourning for her. That's it. Forget it. And you would think like, man, this is not good. But look at what Mark 5:35, and we're going back just to point that because it's before he gets to the house. Mark 5:35 tells us, 1:6, no wonder. I'm like, wait, look. 5:35. While he was still speaking, some of the ruler, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said to him, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? So this is now discouragement. So before you get your miracle, sometimes you might get bad news. You're praying for someone who's in drugs. And instead of getting good news, you get worse news. They tell you, no, you know what? He's not only that, but now he's involved in something else. And you're like, wait a second. I thought it was going to go good. I've been praying about this. And so discouragement can come in and try to hold you back from receiving your miracle. But notice what Jesus told him in verse 36, right there in Mark 5:36. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid. Only believe. Wow. It's like, hey, you came to me because you believed that I could heal her. So you believe that I had the power to heal her and not allow her to die. Do you not believe that I have the power, if she died, to bring her back from the dead? I mean, it's a bigger miracle, but we serve a creator, the creator. He can come and change our situation no matter how bad it looks. So, how do we gain strength when discouragement comes, when bad news comes, when you thought you were on your way to receiving your miracle, and yet not only do you have that interruption, but now you have the discouragement of someone that says, just stop praying. Come on, it's not even true. Why do you believe all that silliness? Well, you stand on his word, and his promises, and having him next to you. What an encouragement Jesus is for times of trouble, for times of doubting, when we're doubting, when if he will be there with us, and he promises, don't worry, his word will give you encouragement, his promises are sure, and his presence is awesome. His presence just, energizes you. You're like, wait, I don't care what you say. I mean, you guys come over here telling me these bad news, but guess who's with me? I'm not alone. If I'm going to go and try to battle this miracle, try to make the things happen on my own, it's not going to happen. But guess what? He's with me. He's with me. So we need to keep trusting, and we need to keep holding on. And Jesus told them, hey, just believe. Just believe. Let's go back to Matthew. We're finally going to start our first verse. Forget about finishing early. When Jesus came into the ruler's house, he saw the flute players and the noisy crowd wailing. Man. Okay, talk about not only the discouragement of the news that he got, but now what he sees. Now when he walks into the house, the scene is really devastating. I mean, you're walking into a funeral home. They have the casket right there. They have the body laying there. And you're like, oh, I guess I am late. I guess Jesus is late. And so now you have flute players. And these were, you know, some people like to, when they die, they want to go out with music and stuff like that. And some of the music that they play, okay. I'm like, at least, you know, if you're going to die and you think you went to heaven, at least play heavenly music. But some people, they die and they ask to bring music that doesn't glorify God, that you are actually telling everyone where you are right now. I mean, the type of songs, oh, I want to die drinking, and I want to be with women, and I want to be with that. And that's the songs they're singing when you're dead? I'm like, so no, you're not doing that over there. But here, the Jewish custom was the people that were poor, they hired one or two musicians, and they just played sad music. And even people came and volunteered to cry, fake cry. And they don't even know, but they just cry just to, I guess, to help you mourn and just get it out. And so that's the scene that Jairus walks in, and I bet you his wife was also in tears. And Jesus says right here in verse 24, he said to them, "Make room, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping." I mean, and it says that they ridiculed him. You know, there's some people that instead of helping you get your miracle or build your faith, they only see things from the natural. And so they only saw the natural, what was there. They saw the body of the dead girl and they saw how everyone was sad, and they just guided themselves by the natural. They didn't even realize, they didn't even know Jesus. They didn't know who he was. And sometimes there are people that come around us that do not have a heavenly perspective at all. They don't have a godly perspective at all. They don't have a biblical worldview. And so those people tend to be so negative. Something breaks down and they think like it's going to get worse. It's not going to get better. And you're like, oh, what? They wrote you up? Oh, I'm pretty sure they're going to fire you. Yeah, because I remember they wrote someone up and, oh, man, 2 days later, oh, she doesn't like you. Oh, no, you're going down. And they are so negative. Something goes wrong in your business and they say, oh, no. I remember someone happened that, and then they went bankrupt. And you're like, come on. Or there's some people that you're asking God for miracles and they're just popping your balloon. They walk around with their little pin. And you come all happy and look at, I'm thinking of doing, oh. You just left with your little string. You're like, oh, man. And so sometimes you got to be careful who you share your dreams with, who you share what God has put in your heart and what you want to do. And here, these people are, I mean, supposedly they came to encourage. They came to encourage the family. They're not encouraging. If Jesus says, hey, she's not dead, she's just sleeping, they should have said, you know what, maybe it is true. Maybe it is true. Maybe he's going to do a miracle. No. There's, this guy. I could just picture it because it says they ridiculed him. Look at this guy. Who is this guy that just walked in and now is saying that the girl is not dead? We've been here for hours. We know she's dead. You come out of nowhere and now you're saying that she's not dead. Well, some people are just like that. And they're going to make fun of your dreams, of your miracles. You say, you know what? I'm believing God that God is going to do. It's not going to happen. I don't see it. You? Oh, no. And you're like, you know what? You don't surround yourself with people like that. And there's some people that just are so negative. They always see the cup or the glass empty. Not even half full. No, empty. They look at it, well, to me it's empty. Like, no, it has a little bit. No, well, it's nothing. That's nothing. Literally, they kill your faith. They kill your little, whatever you want to do, they just kill it. And you know what Jesus said? Get him out of here. Kick him out. So he threw him out. In verse 25. But when the crowd was put outside, that's what you need to do. You know, some people, honestly, surround yourself with people that are going to be a good influence in your life. And I'm not saying don't speak to the people that are negative and stuff. Just don't take them too seriously. You know, take it from who's coming. I look at some people and they're like, oh, here he comes. This person is just so negative. It's always gloomy. If the sun is out, oh, it's too hot. If the clouds are, ooh, too gloomy. I'm like, okay, if it's snowing, oh, no, it's too cold. Okay, no weather is perfect for them. Always complaining. Instead of like, you know what, get up and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, man, this is a beautiful day. This is the Lord that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I'm going to leave my pin. I am not going to be walking around with my pin popping people's, like, they're all happy. And I'm like, nah, stop it. Don't laugh. Don't be happy. No, you're not going to get a miracle. No, you're going to get worse. Man, Jesus said, you know, get out of here. He just brought in Peter, James, and John. That was his inner circle. Those are the people that he conferred with. And he brought the ones that had to do with the miracle, that requested the miracle. Jairus and the wife. That's it. You don't need a big circle. Don't go looking for your page and thinking, like, how many followers do you have? How many people do you know of those followers? Probably one or two. You're like, oh, wait. Really? Just find a few good friends. Good friends that have a vision that God is good, that God is great, that God has a miracle in store for you, that yes, He has given you dreams. He has given you aspirations. Yes, you can make it. Amen, Areli? Amen. Yes. I mean, God is so good. So we threw these people out. Verse 25. And when the crowd was put outside, He went in and took her by the hand. Now we know that He took her by the hand. And what did He say? Come on. Talita kumi. He said, Talita kumi. Little girl, I say to you, arise. Amen. And she arose. I mean, she arose. Man, God makes a difference. The power of God makes a difference. His word, just when He speaks, and that's all we need for miracles to come true in our lives. That's all we need. We just need for Him to touch our lives. And you know, sometimes that should be our prayer. If He can touch me, Lord, just touch me. I don't need anything else, just Your touch and Your word. Through Your Holy Spirit, You can make things happen. Now He spoke the word, and the spirit of this girl went back into her body. And the body just came alive. And He wakes up, took her by the hand, standing, and then He gives her to her parents. Oh my God, I could just picture that hug. I'm like, oh, my daughter is back from the dead. And you think you're going to say, oh, and please be quiet. Don't tell anyone. I am not going to tell anyone about this. Everyone is going to know about this. And yeah, it did happen that way. Jesus told them, hey, don't tell anyone about this miracle. But the people that were outside making fun of Him, now they come in and they're like, oh, she's alive. Man, they went out and they told everyone about it. And so you think that Jairus was not thankful for Jesus? Man, there were so many people that Jesus touched, and He did not make any exceptions. Like, He didn't say, oh no, I don't go with these people. He touched people that were really rich, that were of the house of Herod. He touched people that were in leadership, in the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Even though He spoke really hard against them, but some of them were touched by Him. He is so awesome. And then He's with Matthew and his friends, and He's forgiving the woman found in adultery. She's casting out demons out of a demon-possessed woman. Man, God is so good. He is so great. He is so awesome. And so we should never allow that what God has told you that He's going to do, don't doubt it. Don't doubt it. No matter if the multitude, no matter if the interruption, if it's not the timing, it doesn't feel like it's happening, just keep believing. No matter if the bad news come, and they come and tell you, nah, you know what, it's not going to work. You're not going to make it. No, you keep trusting the Lord. He's the one that has our lives in His hands, and He is the one that's going to make it happen. And then God will use you as a witness of His power. And you'll be able to tell others and encourage others and say, you know what, hang on. Hang on. I know you're going through this. I know it's tough. I know. Don't worry. God's got your back. He sometimes doesn't tell us exactly how He's going to do it, but He's going to do it. And verse 26 ends up by saying, and the report of this went out into all that land. Yep. Everyone knew. A lot of people knew about this great miracle. And this is even before Jesus resurrected Lazarus. He's already touching and resurrecting others. So our God is so awesome. And you know, in a way, we have been resurrected from the dead. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. He came and touched us. He spoke into our lives and gave us a new beginning, a new life. And he wants to keep doing that in our lives. Now, I chose a little video. I hope we can show it. The main theme is forgiveness, but I saw like three phrases inside the video that said, man, those are things that we need to be thankful for. And so, as soon as ready, okay. So we're going to show this, and this is going to be the end.